ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। वञ्चाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्ता राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते। तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। नमः विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेषाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्ता स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द। एवरीबडी टुगेदर, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Thank you. I welcome all of you today to this wonderful monthly Chetna festival. Thank you for taking your time out of your busy schedules on this weekend. Everybody knows the topic? What would you like to discuss? Do you like this topic? Are you interested to know more about it? So I want it to be more interactive, because the topic is femininity versus feminism, right? So what would you like to discuss first, femininity or feminism? Any preference? Anything? Anything? Femininity? So, who can talk more about femininity than all beautiful girls like all of you? Right? So, we all know that God has created this beautiful world. And the most beautiful of all God's creation is who else but the females. You agree? We all agree to that. So the most beautiful creation of God is the female. Because, and what is the quality of a female? God or Krishna has put all the best qualities in a female gender. So what are those qualities? Would you like to share? Please feel free to just say one quality. Let's talk about ourselves, right? Surrendering and giving, very nice. Anything else? Strength, very strong. Humble. Which are the qualities? More compassionate, right? Please keep saying everything. You can use the best adjectives. Courageous, yes. Multitasking. They are very tolerant. We are very tolerant, yes. Anything else? More. We understand people. We are more kind, loving, caring, nurturing, adaptable, compromising, adjustable, sacrificing, pardon? Flexible, contented, satisfied, composed. Beautiful. Aren't we feeling little nice after we feel like, oh, we feel much better about ourselves, right? So God has created two genders, the male and the female. But if you go to see the most important work, the most important service of procreating or creating is given to the woman. Can there be any man without a woman? That itself you can understand that it's such a major big responsibility that as women we have got. And then what are our strengths? We all just discussed. These are our strengths. We have so many qualities. That is our femininity. That is what our female, as females, that's our quality of feminism, or femininity, sorry. The femininity is all these qualities that you just discussed. And that is what gives the strength to each one of us. The woman is like, you know, the description, you can compare it to so many things, but it's like an atom bomb. You know what's an atom bomb? It's nuclear energy. It is a lot of powerful energy which is actually harnessed together and made into a bomb. Right? But it can be harmful, right? Atomic energy, if it is made into a bomb, it can be so destructive. Isn't it? You agree? But that same atomic energy can give so much energy to run so many industries and so many wonderful good things can happen through that. You agree? So that means the same energy, the same power can destroy the whole creation, or it can, you know, support or contribute or give so much to this creation. You agree to that? That means the energy of a woman or the feminine energy is so powerful that if each woman, like today, in this 5 minutes, we felt, we understood our energy or our qualities. You felt little better about us. We felt, we realized that yes, we have so much qualities. So if you understand your own power, then you can actually utilize it in the right direction. But if you don't know your power, then what will happen is easily somebody else or the male energy will completely dominate and cover you up. Or you start thinking that, oh, we have no worth. We have no value. When you yourself will feel that you don't have any value, then the whole world, anybody can dominate. Anybody can make you feel that you are not really worth. Isn't it? So the most important thing is each woman should understand their own feminine energy. Our own femininity is our greatest strength. If we wouldn't realize, if we don't realize our femininity, then we will easily be exploited. First thing, we will easily be dominated. We will easily be silenced. Our voices will never be able to come up. So the most important is that we come together. Now that we are all here, so many females together, we feel very empowered, right? Because we are all sharing our qualities, our strengths. And immediately we all felt like connected to each other and we are feeling very strong. So femininity, the nature of a woman is that we connect to other women. That should be our strength. That we get strength from each other. But unfortunately we see sometimes the women is the worst enemy of the woman, right? We see that. Because of that, you know, we bring each other down. But now the whole trend is changing. That once we realize our real femininity, our real energy, our power, we will understand our true worth. And as women, once we understand our true worth, then there is no need to fight or try to push around to get our rights. Because the way God has designed is that each gender has been given its position and its qualities and its duties and its each gender. Right? What is our duties as a woman? What is our responsibilities as women? Would you like to share? Anybody would like to say, share what is our responsibilities as a woman? How can we express our feminine nature to, how we can contribute to the society? As, first thing is, mothers, right? As mothers, we are contributing to society. We are giving so much. And what else can we do? Please share. Nurturing as mothers, yes. What else? Huh? We can inspire. Very, very, very powerful point. We are inspirers. Have you heard this famous statement? That behind every successful man, there has to be a woman. A smart, intelligent woman. That's important. Right? So we are inspirational. We can inspire the man to do great things. That is the greatest, one of the greatest qualities. What else? How can we contribute? Give love, yes. That is the commodity which is most, there is shortage of in this world. Mother Teresa says that, right? The greatest shortage in this world is only of love, not of anything else. So women are carriers of love. We are epitome of love and we can just give. We have immense capacity to give love. So isn't that a beautiful thing? That's the most beautiful quality of the feminine quality that we have. Anything else? Yeah, we are now in the modern situation. Women were always hardworking. We should not think that people, women who are housewives are not hardworking. They are also work harder at home probably. Any woman who works outside and at home will know that if you are at home, the home housework never ends. You can just go on and on doing and it will still continue. You'll have so much more to do. So women are hardworking. And I feel so proud of the Indian women now that along with housework, they work as professionals. So they are also professionally so qualified now, isn't it? So women are hardworking not only at home, but also in so many different careers. As the modern society has developed, we all have realized that as females, we also have a duty of providing, right? Usually the women were at home, nurturing, loving, taking care of the house. But now the roles have changed. The modern situation is that woman has to go out and also work and provide for the family. That's one of the duties or responsibilities that all of us have now, right? But we do both of the things and we can balance both. And as somebody said, multitasking is one of our strengths. We can do multitasking, right? So these are our roles and responsibilities. There are so many ways that we are contributing to society. So in no way can we say that, you know, as females, we are back in any ways. Like in every field, you can see that in the war or military, women are becoming, you know, progressing so much in that field. Even as pilots. So there is not one place that the women have not proved that they can excel. This is the modern society this is the change that has come, that we have to prove ourselves we have been given that chance now. And there is a need that we have to prove ourselves. And the main thing we have to prove is to ourselves that we are, as women, as our greatest strength is how God has made us with all these beautiful qualities. Right? That is our true femininity. And if we stick to our feminine nature, if we have faith and if we are proud of our feminine nature, then we will not have to fight, you know, to become equal. Because you will always know that you are being given such wonderful qualities by God. And in our Indian situation, in Indian culture, as you see, women have always been given a higher position, right? It's a position of respect more than the man. Don't you agree? You see our Indian culture? You see all the goddesses, Durga, Mahalakshmi, Radharani, they are all being given higher position. They are always given a position of respect. That's because our culture is designed in such a way, because it's a spiritual culture, it's designed according to how God has ordained it to be, that women are given a very, very high position and a high respect. If we completely understand our feminine nature, if we completely are in touch with our original nature, then we will always be self-satisfied and contented in our position. Because already God has given us such a beautiful, respectful position, a very, very valued position in this world, in the whole scheme of this creation. So then the question comes, you must be wondering that, yes, this is our culture, but then what is happening? Why is all these negative things happening? You agree? Anyone has this question in mind? That why the females or the women, it's not just in India, one thing we have to clarify, it's not just here, all over the world. Why is it that the women feel so suppressed and neglected and as if they have no opportunity or no voice at all. You have any questions like this? What is your question like? Made to feel low. So nobody said this quality of jealousy, but it's true. This is one quality, like just like all the good qualities, there is some negative qualities also. And that's one thing is jealousy among two women. That's one thing which is actually keeping us back. And overthinking, over emotional about things. So these are all the negative. We should have also discussed the negative things. So yes, jealousy comes first in the list, and over emotional and overthinking and worrying about things. So we should know our strengths and we should also know our weaknesses, right? Why should we know our weaknesses? So that others don't take advantage of our weaknesses. So that's true. So I will try to explain that how the Vedic culture was, as I explained, women are given the best position, the respectful position, and the culture was so designed, so properly designed, that the women had their roles, their position, and they were given equal opportunity for everything. It is not true that the women were not given equal opportunity. Otherwise, how is it possible that there are so many examples from our Vedic culture where they were great scholars, who knew scriptures, that means they had already studied so much Sanskrit and they knew the scriptures. Then they were warriors. Not only in the ancient culture, but even in the recent history. Right? Lakshmibai, you have seen that the latest is Maharani Lakshmibai. Can you imagine a woman fighting in a battlefield? How much guts you require for that? So it's not that women in our Indian culture were backward in any ways. If anybody is trying to paint that picture, it is not really true. They were using their feminine power wherever it is necessary, whenever it is necessary. As you said, it's an atom bomb. It's like atomic energy. It's very, very powerful. So it is not possible to suppress a woman. It is so powerful. Like, I was reading an interview and it said that a woman, you know, if she's threatened, if her child is threatened, somebody is attacking the child, how the mother will be, how the woman will suddenly start showing, you know, such aggression, such anger. Isn't it? Can you imagine how a mother will react if somebody is trying to take away the child from her? All her aggression and anger and her power will come out, right? But that same mother will be so loving and nurturing and caring also. So the point is that the power is there within each woman. But if we allow someone to suppress us, allow And because of these weaknesses that we are discussing, you know, not support each other, then it will be easy for anybody to dominate and suppress the feminine quality. Otherwise, in our culture, the feminine energy or the femininity, the power of femininity is so powerful. And what is that power coming from? You see from our ancient Vedic scripture, the power of a woman was coming from her. Do you have any idea where that power is coming from? Think. From the modern standpoint, that will be too difficult to understand, but when we understand from the Vedic standpoint, you'll understand that the power of a woman comes from her chastity. I know this word, I think we don't discuss much in the modern concept, but what, let us understand from the modern understanding of what is the meaning of power of chastity. If anybody has any, have you heard of the story of Satyavan and Savitri? So that's her feminine power, the power of love. Chastity is nothing but the power of the feminine power of being, focusing all the energy, focusing her power of love, you know, towards one, your husband or your this. Satyavan and Savitri, that is the story. Just by her power of her chastity, she could bring back Satyavan back to life from Yamaraj's hands. Then which other example you can think of? Power of chastity. Have you heard of Gandhari? That story of Gandhari, where she completely, because of her energy, because of the power that was within her, of her chastity, she made the whole body of her son Duryodhan into steel. You know, so powerful. That's the power of energy, the energy of the femininity power that she created within herself. Even Draupadi, by her power of her chastity, you know, you could see that she had the power to create so much. The whole history of India, Mahabharata, is actually, she is the main person in that. So there is a lot of power within us, but we have to channelize it properly. If we don't channelize this power of chastity, this power, the feminine power that is within us, of course you must be thinking, oh, this is all ancient stories from Vedic, you know. But these are very, very inspiring because, okay, we are not up to that level now. But we are still women. We have that capacity, that power within us. In a modern concept, how through our, and this is what the Indian culture or the culture that we are living, we are in India, right? We are all Indians. The culture, the Vedic spiritual culture of India was so designed that it gave the women this power. If we follow this culture, we will definitely have this power within each one of us. But if we ignore this in the name of, you know, trying to do something which is other than our nature, if we try to, you know, fight or against our nature, what is our nature? We already discussed. This is our feminine nature. If we stick to our feminine nature and if we stick to this femininity that we have, then you will be also, we will see that how our life is more richer and we are more satisfied in life. And that was what the Indian culture was designed, to make everyone happy. One thing is that if a woman is happy, then everybody will be happy around. If the woman is unhappy, then the whole family will be destroyed. The whole family will be unhappy. This is a fact. She can make or she can break. You agree to that? So imagine if you have so much power within you, don't you feel it is, with power comes great responsibility, isn't it? With power in your hands, it comes more, you have to be more responsible. So we have to understand that how in our modern situation, in our modern current situation that we are living, how we can use these principles of, you know, channelizing our feminine energy in the right direction. So that is our femininity or our feminine power or feminine energy. You see in India, the buses, everywhere we have our own space, right? Women have their own seats, right? But if we are fighting for our rights and if we should be, want to be equal, should you have that special seat? You should be equal, right? Everyone has to rush and fight for their seat. But still you see the Indian culture is that, I have seen so many times personally, if I go to in a bus and I was pregnant, immediately a man would get up and give me the seat. It has happened with me so many times. So I have this complete faith that, you know, in India, the culture is that the woman is given care and protection. Now, not one of you from the modern young group will be able to deny this. Because it is true. However bad, I'm agreeing, we are not talking that the negative things are not happening. It is happening. Many negative things are happening. But there are also so many positive things, right? So what the negative things are happening is as time has progressed, the whole society has degraded. It's not that just the men have degraded. It's also the women have degraded. You agree? If we consider our Vedic culture and the Vedic examples that we were talking about, the power that they have, do we have that still in this modern situation? We say the men are degraded. They are doing so many crimes against women. Dowry burning. Rapes. These negative things are there. I'm not denying that. But this is happening all over the world. They are crimes. That's different. So it is not that only the men have degraded. It's also the women have degraded. We have to face the fact. So let's discuss about feminism now. Why do you think feminism, or have you heard of feminism? It's like a big movement. Any thoughts about feminism? Anything, huh? Yes. Yes. Feminist movement. It started, and the main crux of it, the whole movement started. Why? Of course, it started in the West, not in India. Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yes. So the feminist movement, the main crux of it, as she said, is started with equality. The original, which started in the 18th century, the feminist movement started on this, that women should get equal rights to vote. Can you imagine? That in the Western world, women didn't have the right to even vote. Vote, give their vote for the government. They were considered as secondary citizens. And compared to that, to our Vedic culture, that Rani Lakshmibai is the queen of Jhansi. So you see that in India, there was never a situation where the women were not given a voice. It's not true. And the feminist movement started, why? Because if you go to the history of the Western culture, the early scriptures or the Christian they thought that women don't even have souls. How degraded is that? It's like women and animals have no soul. Imagine how low their thinking is. They are not even given the rights, a normal human right to vote for the government. How much suppression is that? That is real suppression. Right? You agree? So that's how the feminist movement started. Imagine how degraded the men were there. They didn't have that basic intelligence to give that much rights to a woman to even vote. So the whole movement started just that the women wanted to vote. So be given that, that's called as the suffragette movement. And that was the first wave of feminism. And the next wave in the 20th, early 29, late 19th and 20th was when women started working. They started, in each field, the women were working with the men. That's when the feminism movement took the position. They started demanding even for equal rights, equal pay, equal opportunity at work, equal. So the point is that when the women were not given any rights, any protection, any care, that's when the women started fighting, raising their voice for equality, at least treat equal. Right? They had to, right? They had to do this. But consider it here from our Indian standpoint, is that women were always cared for and protected. My mother never had to even, I mean, this is the previous generation. Our fathers used to take care of everything. She didn't even have to buy vegetables. Go out and buy the vegetables. Everything was brought and provided in at home. And even in the early Indian, many women were so protected by the men, so cared for, and they were given such position in the family for decision making and this, that there was no need to raise a voice and start a movement. You understand? So there was actually no need, because the women in our Vedic culture and in Vedic this is that women were very, very happy and satisfied within their femininity. Happy with their feminine power, whatever they had. They were very, very satisfied with themselves and they were in connection with their original feminine nature. So they didn't have to really, start movement like this. So femininity or feminism, the third wave now which is going on is more like a men hating or men bashing. So the point is that if it is becoming so imbalanced, how is it imbalanced? Why is it imbalanced? If it is just men bashing, it's like all our energy is going towards, huh? Exactly. So her point is, you see, it's becoming more like an androgynous movement than femininity. The word feminism is becoming more and more in the sense of becoming like a man, isn't it? In the name of equality, if you analyze very clearly, in the name of, which started off us being just getting equal rights, now the third phase has become like it is becoming more that we want to put down the men and take take the position, you know. The whole Me Too movement. It is not that I am saying that it is not, you know, of course these are just views on feminism. Whatever I am talking is just views which I have, this is my personal views. So it's not necessary that all of you have to agree. But the point here is that if it becomes a male bashing, all our energy goes into that, then we are actually losing out on our real power. All our energy is going towards something negative. Isn't it? You understand my point? As she's talking about an androgynous, it's becoming more like an androgynous movement than a feminine or a movement to protect our femininity. So what would we like to talk about is that how it is becoming more negative rather than focusing on our internal, because as we can see, as we know, that we have all been created equal in the eyes of God. Isn't it? We are all equal. How are we equal? What is the common factor that is going through each one of us, every living entity in this world? What is the common thing? Soul. The spirit soul, right? So the spirit soul is within each and every created living entity of this world, whether it's a male body or a female body or an insect body or any living entity of this world that we see. So that's what is the equal thing, which is, but when we get this female body and a male body, we get different roles and we have different responsibilities to go through with that. But internally we all are connected. So if you are a spiritual person, do you think it's really worth wasting your energy fighting and trying to prove, you know, how, forget about equal or more superior than males, through this feminist movement? Is it really worth? Its only thing is that we are just putting our energy in the negative direction. If we really want to use our female energy in the right direction, and if you really want to be a feminist rather than, as she said, an androgynous, you know, hating men, rather than that kind of a movement, we channelize our energy and towards the real problems that women are facing. Isn't it? By coming together, by uniting together, by supporting each other, that's how we can actually be true feminists. You understand? When we support each other and help each other. There are so many issues that the women are facing today. Dowry, female mutilation, rapes. So there are so many things, but if we all come together and we, instead of putting our energy in the negative way of putting the men down, but focus our energy towards realizing our true spiritual nature. Because as Srila Prabhupada, the mission, the person who started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because he was a spiritual person, he said that each one of us are equal in the eyes of God, and we have the same capabilities, the same opportunities, the same we can achieve everything that we want, but with the spiritual aim. If we think we are spirit souls, then we should not think that we are limited. Oh, we are just females. Oh, we are just a woman. What can I do? I cannot achieve things. But that is limiting us. If we think that we are just a woman, a body which is this woman, then we will limit ourselves. And then we will be bitter and may start thinking that, oh, we are suppressed, we are not allowed, we are not given any opportunity to progress. But if we think we are spirit souls, we are part and parcel of Krishna, then we are equal in the eyes of God. So we rise above this limiting thought that we are just this body. We are just this female body or just this woman. who cannot achieve much. But if we think we are spirit soul, then we are actually releasing or directing our feminine energy in the right direction of understanding ourselves, our spiritual position as spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna. And then it opens like for us a whole world of opportunities, how we can engage this feminine energy in the service of God. And once we do that, then all these big feminist movements, this male bashing thought, all this, you can put it all behind you, or you don't get affected by that at all. There's no point wasting our energy in the negative direction. It's better we put it in the positive direction of understanding our own self, and not only that, connecting with other women and helping each other to together make progress in the service of God. Right? You agree to that? You agree to this point? That is it worth wasting our energy trying to prove ourselves that we are equal, fight and be part of the feminist movement? It's something which is, if it's making you negative, rather than focusing on the positive aspect of each one of us being part and parcel of God, spiritual souls. And in this female body, then there is nothing which can stop us from really serving God and really understanding our value in this world, in this creation. God has brought us with a purpose here, right? Each one of us, even though we are in this women body, we have come with a purpose and we have come with a mission. We have something to contribute to this world. We have something to give. So if we focus all our energy in our true nature, our true spiritual nature, and focus all our feminine energy in this direction, then you will see that not only your life is perfect, not only that you are feeling more satisfied and contented, but you will see that you are giving so much to this world. You are able to really give, and you are able to really bring everyone together. You are able to really bring such a wonderful change in not only your life, but all the people who are depending on you or who are connected to you. So you can really understand your true nature as a woman once you connect yourself to the spiritual path, this process of Krishna consciousness. If you take to this process, then you will also see that as a woman, you will be most satisfied and more centered, God-centered in your life, and you will be able to really make a big difference in this world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there's any questions, we can have a discussion. Because I said that whatever about feminism, these are just my views, and it may not be the views of all of you. So if anybody has any views which you would like to share, we can discuss and hear. Please feel free. Exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say is that if the women just understand their own true worth, if we understand our true worth, then we will not need a man to make us feel that, oh, you are something. You don't need that. We don't need men for any reason. At least not for that. We need women actually. We need each other. So the true women empowerment, the word, women empowerment is becoming very, very powerful, very common nowadays. It's not that women need empowerment because they don't have power. We are already powerful. Women empowerment means women coming together to empower each other. You understand? What we need today, in today's modern day, is that women have to come together. share together, you know, meet together, inspire together, work together, not work against each other. That is true women empowerment, is coming together and empowering each other to understand your true worth. Instead of putting ourselves down, that's when people start exploiting. When you have no self-worth, that's when men exploit. They exploit on that thought that, oh, she already is putting herself in that position. So in the name of modernism and in the name of being equal, women are actually doing risky things. Very, very dangerous, risky things which are completely opposite of their feminine nature. Just so that in defiance, if men can do it, if they can smoke a whole pack of cigarettes, then I can smoke also a whole pack in a day. Is that worth competing? Is that something to worth compete on? When you lose your own feminine nature and you are trying to compete on things like, oh, they can have illicit sex, so why can't we? They can stay out till 2 in the night, why can't we? So our whole energy is going on competing with men just to prove that we are equal to them when we are different. That's not really our nature. We are putting ourselves in greater risk. What happens when we do all these things? Our self-worth becomes low. Right? You may think that, oh, if I compete and try to be like a man and do whatever I like, it's my choice, then it reduces our self-worth, our respect for our own self. And once that happens, then we are miserable because we will get exploited. And then we become more miserable because we are exploited. And then we start bashing, you know. So the point is, this is like a vicious cycle. Any other question? Huh? Yeah, it can originate from our own self. We put ourselves in that position where we are exploited. You don't trust. Trust comes when you trust. You have to first trust your own self. It is lack of confidence. It all boils down to the same point, is that if we don't practice our self-worth, then it will be easy for anyone to exploit. And that's why we are not confident of ourselves. The first thing is, we are not confident. But that confidence will come once we, as I told, that if we connect to our real nature, the spiritual nature. The real self-confidence comes when you become spiritual. When you connect with your own spiritual nature. And how can we do that? Once we come on the spiritual platform and we understand that we are spirit souls and we connect with God, Krishna, who created us through the holy name, then you will see that slowly you will develop so much more self-worth and your own self-confidence. You'll have more confidence in yourself as in this female body, and you'll feel that you get the confidence and the intelligence to make all the right decisions, and you also get a nice way of life, the Vedic way of life, and you feel contented to follow that. Like, for example, in the name of feminism, the women are thinking that anybody who's following the culture, they are like something. Like some actress, this who recently got married, she put sindoor in her, this is our culture, you put sindoor, and she was trolled for that. She was put down, that why is she putting so much sindoor? Why is she showing off? And another young girl who was, she's a very daughter of a famous person, and she came on stage in a burqa and she was trolled for that. But if feminism means equal rights or giving choice, then you should also give choice to the women to make, to follow the culture, right? It's not that feminism means that dressing like a man, smoking, or having a choice to do all the wrong things. It can also be a choice to do all the right things, following the culture, putting sindoor, and then also wearing burqa, or wearing salwar kameez or a sari. It's a choice of the woman. Isn't it? Feminism just does not mean that breaking all the culture and doing something opposite. You understand that? Huh? The comments are passed by women only. They are the feminist women who have this completely misbalanced or imbalanced view of what a female is. That's what I'm trying to say. Is it worth wasting your energy and being imbalanced like this and thinking that, you know, in the name of feminism, we just put down any woman who's trying to follow the culture? Because according to them, feminism means doing, being just like men, like it's an androgynous movement. It's becoming like men. Will that really serve the purpose? Will you really feel satisfied, first of all? Huh? Will you really feel contented as a woman if you try to do that? This is a question which each one of you has to ask yourself. I cannot push my views on you, but we just had a discussion to understand it. I hope you are able to understand what I was trying to speak. Huh? It's easy. It's easier. Huh? Yeah, humility comes naturally to a woman. It's easily. Exactly. But Srila Prabhupada himself has said that as women, we have greater chance and opportunity to surrender to God and practice devotional qualities, because it comes naturally to us. We don't have to do something opposite. We don't have inflated egos. So we are naturally humble and we are ready to take. So these are all actually good for us. So the Indian culture, see what I'm saying, the Vedic culture was so designed that women were given all these kind of, you know, the culture was so designed that women remained humble, you know. In the modern context, yeah, in this modern world. But why do you want the thread? But they were given all the knowledge. It is not true. To go to school, basically, that's what, and study, but it was like Gurukul. But if you go to see from Mahabharata time, Kunti and all these characters, they had all knowledge. You read Kunti Maharani's prayers. They are special souls. But actually it's not true. Srila Prabhupada emphasized or actually reinstated the Vedic culture. He reinstated Vedic culture in today's day and age. He brought it in the West, where West, he preached in the West first. You understand? There. But it was called as homeschooling. women were schooled at home. That's why they were... there was no need. The earlier Vedic culture... In the Vedic culture, the women, I'll tell you, in the Vedic culture, the women were happy in their feminine nature. More happy in their feminine nature. But of being at home, doing the nurturing, caring, loving part. That's the quality of a woman, naturally. So she was happy. They are not the providers or the, hardworking kind of. So they have to just take care of this. They were happy in that. So there was no need to wear the Brahmin thread and go to school. They were satisfied in their position. But as time progressed, there is modernism. Times are changing, right? Time doesn't remain the same. In the Vedic times, the women were happy. Even my mother, previous generation, they were totally happy. We are not happy. Because they are the leader, the bosses, the money is in their hand. So even though they didn't study maths in school, the accounts are in their hands. How can they know accounts and maths without going to school? They are more smarter because they are homeschooled. So they are more intelligent without going to the school. All the decisions, everything was made by the women. And they were happy in that. As times changed, when our generation, the modern generation, the men and women both have to work to run the house because everything has degraded, so everything is costly. So women have to go to school, they have to study, they have to work. And if you have to work, then you have to excel in different careers and the different this. That's the change of the society. And Srila Prabhupada, because he started the movement in the West. In the West, already women are thinking we are equal to men. So there he said to them, actually we are truly equal on the spiritual platform. So you don't have to really fight for the women's liberation movement. We are already, on the spiritual platform. We can actually do everything that the men can do. So we can serve Krishna in any way possible. So there is no fight here as such. So he kind of brought the Vedic culture to the West by making them realize that please don't waste your energy in fighting for women's liberation and putting all your energy in that. It's not really worth it. We don't have to fight and try to prove ourselves in any other way. If we understand our feminine nature and be satisfied in the roles that we have got, and more importantly, understand our spiritual nature and connect to God and do spiritual activities and devotion, you will be completely safe and protected by Krishna. Do we need a mortal man in this world to protect us? You think men of this world can really protect? You think our husbands can protect us? Truly, if you go to see, only God can protect us. So why not we understand our spiritual nature as spirit souls and surrender to Krishna and accept Him as our true protector? Because in this world, everyone is a fallible soldier. That's what Srila Prabhupada says. Thank you so much. It was a very, very wonderful discussion. Yeah. The women are judged more is because the society is... Actually, everyone is judged. Even the... If you go to see, even the men are judged. If they are listen to their wives, they are Joru ka gulam. And if they become house husband, like, okay, let the women earn more than them. For that also they are, So the society is going to raise a question for... So the men also face a lot of judgment. Women also face a lot of judgment. It's just that... because of the feminist movement, we are trying to say that we should, But the men are also having issues now. Now the whole law is against the men actually, if you go to see. So they are feeling more insecure nowadays. If you go and study, they are in a very, very difficult situation. Because women have started misusing. If you are not properly placed in your feminine, if you are not really true to your nature, then you will start exploiting others. That's what is happening. Women can also exploit. You take advantage. So that is also happening. So judgment will always be there. But you as a person, you have to take the decision whether I want to channelize my energy in the right direction, which is spiritual, take a spiritual path, or take the wrong direction. So that each choice is in each one's hand. But judgment, we will all be judged, always. All have to be under the microscope. But you should be happy within yourself. You should be contented within yourself and satisfied with yourself. And you should have your own self-respect and self-worth. Then nobody can affect you. Nobody can touch you. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. We'll have kirtan together now. Please stay for kirtan.
Thank you, Mataji, for the class. Let express our deepest heartfelt gratitude to Mataji by loudly chanting Hari Bol.
Hari Bol. Hari Bol.
First of all, I would like to welcome all those girls who have come for this Chetna festival for the very first time. Please stand in their own places. Hare Krishna, we would like to welcome you by loudly chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Thank you so much for coming here. Please keep coming. And we pray to Shishi Radha Gopinath that today's day be an auspicious day in your Krishna conscious life. And please keep coming in our Chetna and keep inspiring us by a lovely presence. Kindly be seated. Kindly collect your gift from the prasadam counter. For the newcomers, they can collect their gift from the prasadam counter from me. Okay. There are one very wonderful collection of books near downstairs in a gift shop. You can have a look on them. It's very easy. Small books are also available. You can have a look at them before you leave. Next, Chetna is on 9th of March and the topic is Gift of Gratitude. Speaker is Her Grace Kishori Mataji. It's Dr. Roshni Upadhyay. So, when is the next Chetna?
Roshni is Rukmini Mataji, not Kishori Mataji. You said Kishori.
Really?
Okay. Rukmini
Mataji. Her Grace Rukmini Mataji. Okay. We are having one more festival on 18th of Feb, that is Nityanand Trayodashi. Lord Nityananda is the expansion of Lord Balram. He is an elder brother to us. So from 6 PM onwards, there will be an ecstatic kirtan, blissful darshan, abhishek, lectures and prasadam for all. So please be there on Nityanand Trayodashi on 18th Feb. Now we will be having a kirtan. So requesting everybody to please dance, please, and chant loudly with us.
Okay, ready everyone? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.